Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
What child doesn't dream of reading government workbooks and solving nonsensical math problems? Common Core. Because all the good little communist countries are doing it. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Where do they teach you to talk like this? In some Panama City sailor bar? Or is this getaway day and your last shot at this whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're joining us on a Monday, Veterans Day at that, and happy to have Uncle Milty with me in studio. How are you, Uncle Milty?
I'm good, thank you.
And of course, the great Dr. Duke Pesta, because Dr. Duke Pesta joins us once a week. Oh, shoot. And I just, for some reason, he just dropped.
Oh, no.
You know what? I'm calling him back, and we'll get him back on. There we go. Dr. Duke Pesta, so happy to have you in studio. Sorry. Just, you know, it's Quirky Monday. What can we say? It's Quirky Monday.
So, it is quirky.
Oh, no. Okay. We're getting a little bit of feedback on your microphone. Darn it. I wonder why that is. That's so bizarre. You know what? We might have to have you call back and call the 888 line.
Yeah, that might be the better way. We're not getting a good connection.
673-1450 for some reason. So 888-673-1450. Might have to have him call back. Did you get that phone number? Okay. Let's hope, right? Okay. Sorry about that. In fact, I'm really excited to have him on because we're going to be talking about something called deep equity, and it's Yeah, you really need to know this. This is really frightening on a lot of levels because, well, there's just so much to this, and it's going on all over the nation right now, and it's deeply rooted. I was just saying, Dr. Pesta, welcome back. How are you today, by the way? So happy to have you.
I'm doing well. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Perfect. For some reason, man, sometimes it just gets a little glitchy. What can we say? And happy to have you. Make sure and catch the Dr. Duke Show. It's a pretty amazing show, by the way. Dr. Duke puts a lot into this, and it plays on the Facebook show, the Kate Daly Show, right after my show. But what's amazing about this is that you're covering all of these kinds of things. And I brought up deep equity because deep equity is just, it's something very, very important to know. I've got a Tucker Carlson clip. Do you want me to play that? It would kind of...
Yeah, let's just take a moment and introduce the subject, and then we'll play Tucker, mm-hmm. because he has about as good a short definition as anyone.
Okay,
but I got to tell you guys, as a professor in a university for the last 25 years, this is not new. And this idea of deep equity, I've always referred to it as the social justice takeover of education. They're exactly the same thing.
Okay.
This is not new. When I was a graduate student back in the early 1990s, this was happening. And basically what it is, and as soon as I give you the short definition, let's listen to Tucker's version, because they've woke up to this now, I think, at the mainstream networks. But what it is, basically, it is the idea that the primary purpose of education is not intelligence or mastery of subjects anymore. Mm-hmm. It is activism. This is advocacy education. The idea is that from pre-K all the way through graduate school, the primary focus of our schools, be they preschools, elementary, middle, high schools, or graduate programs, university programs. The primary purpose is political advocacy, to turn children and young adults into politically correct, progressive apparatchiks. That's what this is. Mm-hmm. This is the whole point of this. Now we're finding out, and we see this, right? Now, I teach education majors at my university. So if somebody wants to be a high school English teacher in the state of Wisconsin, in my university, they have to take one of my classes. And so I see them. And when I see these education majors, they are not learning anything about their subject matters. They are not learning anything about how to be better classroom teachers. What they're learning is how to use the classroom as a tool for revolution. That's what they're learning. And so why don't you go ahead and play Tucker, because I think he gives a good definition of it. But this is something that's been going on for quite a while already now.
Okay. I'll just play a portion of it. Here you go.
If you don't have kids in school, you might imagine that the worst trends in American education are pretty much confined to our most liberal cities. You know, in Seattle, math is racist. In New York City, gifted and talented programs are oppressive. In Berkeley, God knows what they're doing. The left has abandoned education in favor of naked political propaganda. You know that. But it's comforting to think it's not happening near you or your children. Unfortunately, that's not true. It is happening, probably right down the street from where you are now. An investigation by this show found a radical new curriculum in schools across the country, from Arizona to Iowa. The program is called Deep Equity. It's produced by a for-profit education company called Corwin, which is based in California. Corwin describes Deep Equity as a teacher training program that is, quote, aimed at producing real school improvement for equity and social justice. So how does Deep Equity do that? Well, mainly by attacking the students on the basis of their skin color. According to Deep Equity, America is based on a hierarchy of various oppressions. Men oppress women, Christianity oppresses Islam, English oppresses Spanish, white people oppress everyone.
Wow. and you know, I know that that you're saying probably this isn't new. This is just we're just finally waking up to this. Yes.
Well, I think there have been phases, like any socialist. This is what this is. This is socialist Marxism being implemented in the schools, and so it's not new. And there are various stages along these lines, right? One big one was about 5 years ago when the intersectionality craze broke.
Okay.
Up until then, we had competing liberal demographics, right? You had the question, who's the bigger victim, the African-American male or the feminist female? Who is more oppressed, the Hispanic immigrant or the transgender high school kid? And they began to fight each other, right? Mm-hmm. They began to argue amongst themselves. And then along comes the idea of intersectionality, which blames all of those divisions, all of those infights on white people. So now the answer to the question is, who's more oppressed in America, the black male or the feminist female? The answer now is white males, heterosexual Christian white males are responsible for everybody harassing everybody else, everybody oppressing everybody else. And if we just get rid of white heterosexual Christian males and the culture they've built over 2,000 years, mm-hmm. we'll finally have what they call liberation.
Wow. and we can certainly feel it. I know the guys out there listening to the show, if you're white and Christian and middle-aged male, or older male, you're probably realizing how much you've been feeling this. But I think putting this sort of definition to it and what these kids are being geared to think is the most important part of what we're talking about in the schools. And they call it this deep equity, right? So they're constantly going at this with the kids.
Yeah, well, think about this, too. If you are a very young white male, right, and you are content to be a boy, I'm talking about a 7-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, the kids who are being targeted by this. If you're a relatively comfortable boy in a boy's body and your parents happen to be Christian and you are white, think about this for a second. The only way you are acceptable, the only way you are not the consequence, you are not the problem, is if you identify either as gay or transsexual. And why are so many little white boys? Because you see this on TV. You almost never see little black boys who decide they want to be girls. You very seldom see that. You very seldom see Hispanic girls who want to be boys. What you see primarily are little white boys who are questioning their gender. And if you had started berating these children, which we've been doing, from the time they start to get to school, why wouldn't they want to renounce their ethnicity, their sexuality, their very gender? When everything, the whole force of public school education is throwing the entire history of the world in terms of oppression on the backs of those little kids.
What a great point. I mean, you think about how many little Russian kids, how many little kids over in Asia, how many, there aren't numbers to even speak of just because it's such a rare thing. Over here in America, though, we're exploding with this problem, and you're right, it's the little white kids that are taught these things, too.
You know,
that's insane. I hadn't thought about it in that way. Go ahead, Uncle Milty.
They've been going so slowly at this, though. They're so patient. And the reality is that Hitler did it in a year. In 1 year, he had the generation of Nazi youth, and off it went. We've taken our time.
Milton, that's brilliant. And I think you're finally starting to see it roll downhill. Now that the liberals have seized so much power, you've got the big tech companies working with liberal progressives. You've got the media. You've got not just the universities, but the elementary, middle, and high schools now. So not surprisingly, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we laughed at Hillary Care. Mm-hmm. And here we are 20 years later with it. 10 years ago, guys, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were both against gay marriage. So it's the left now controls so many seats of power. And I want to say one more thing. It's not just little white boys who feel the burden. There are little girls, particularly little white girls. Now, you've been telling these kids in public school now, elementary, middle, and high school, that to be white, male, heterosexual, and Christian is to be the worst oppressor in the history of the world. So little boys then, at young ages, start rejecting those aspects of themselves. But here's the other thing. You've endowed the white male with so much power, you also have little girls deciding they want to be white guys, right? Because they'll be better at it than white guys. If little white girls get to become white guys, give up their gender, they'll have all that power with none of the blame. And so it's a double-edged sword here in guilting kids to reject what they are in favor of something else.
Wow. Some of the things highlighted here for deep equity, and these are the sort of check marks, the checklist, if you will. See the race, learn from and listen to people of color, acknowledge the reality of racism, transcend guilt. I mean, how in the world do you do that? Educate other white people, confront racist behavior, ethics, and practices. I guess they're telling us we are racist. I mean, that's just the end of the thing. We are. That's a done deal, right? And then use your privilege to work for racial and social justice.
Look, as, by all the definitions you just gave, the white person has to A, label themselves guilty without a trial. B, must confront and completely subordinate their opinions to the opinions of people who aren't white. Then B, then C, they have to go about erasing their whiteness in the name of equity. And then D, they have to apologize profusely for their privilege. And E, finally, the only way they're allowed to be is if they completely ablate themselves before the dictates of political correctness. In other words, you are guaranteeing yourself third-class citizenship. In the name of equity, you have to do it, or else you can be nothing. You will either be utterly subordinate to our new racial hierarchy, which is every bit as racist as the old one, right? Mm-hmm. You're not equitizing anything. You're not making things equal. You're just flipping the script, right?
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Every totalitarian government in history has done this. Chairman Mao, his little red book.
Right.
Hitler.
Right.
Stalin.
We just don't think it will come to us. And I know we only have a couple of seconds left on this segment, but still I think people go, well, I know, but how could they teach that to kindergartens? How in the world would they present an idea like that? And we come back, maybe you can answer that, Dr. Pesta.
Yep.
Okay. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Happy Veterans Day to you. And of course, we'll be right back talking with Dr. Pesta about deep equity. Be right back.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I started taking them about 7.5 years ago. It was right after I lost my husband. My husband passed away. I was grieving so bad I wasn't eating at all. I mean, I just didn't care. And so I heard the advertisements on the radio, and I thought, well, my family's upset about me. I got to get myself straight, and I started taking them. So I always say they kind of saved my life, you know. They gave me back my life. I would say that.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Call or go online now and become a preferred customer, which gives you our best pricing and free shipping. And we will take an additional 35% off of your first order. This will be a limited time offer, so don't wait. Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. That is veteran 96-year-old Pete Dupre, who played at the New York Knicks game. And handled that very, very well. Wow. It was fantastic. Played all the way through. And what a terrific job he did. Welcome back to the show. I am back here with Uncle Milty and Dr. Duke Pesta. Make sure you get to the website, katedalyradio.com. Make sure you're picking up fruit greens. Yes, it is helping me and my family. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking about it on the air. 11 servings of fruits and vegetables. If you listen to my Friday show, all about health and cancer, you are going to want to eat a lot more vegetables. And this is an added way to do that. Everybody needs a supplement. I would get this one. I did my homework on it, and it is fantastic. You can put in the code KATE when you order at Balance of Nature, and you can get 35% off. Do not miss that savings. It's a fantastic gift as well for a loved one. It is really that good. Dr. Pesta, I welcome you back. We were talking about deep equity on this Veterans Day, and let me tell you, this is not new, you're saying. This has been around, but people are finally starting to catch on, and we're seeing a lot of the results of this. My question to you was, if somebody asks, yeah, but how in the world would they teach this to a kindergartner or first grade? How does that look in the classroom?
Well, it looks very much like you would expect. It's ideology and indoctrination.
Mm-hmm.
Socialist ways of viewing culture. People just don't remember their history. We are guilty as Americans of horrendous historical education, even before this stuff got this bad.
Right.
We have totally neglected the serious teaching of history in our schools, and now you see the consequence of this. We used to view history through the lens of facts and data and results, right?
Right.
Why is capitalism and free markets, why are they superior to socialism? Well, mm-hmm. Look around you.
Right.
You see the evidence in front of you, right?
Sure.
Now, socialists, on the other hand, they don't view schooling, they don't view knowledge through the lens of accomplishment or achievement or intelligence. They view history through the lens of ideology. So it doesn't matter how failed socialism is as an economic policy. Ideologically, it is superior to capitalism and liberty and free markets because the Marxists believe it, because that's their worldview. And so what we've been doing in American schools for almost 25 years now is slowly replacing education for knowledge and for mastery and for excellence and for reality.
Right.
We've been replacing that with education anchored in ideological, socialistic diacritics, right? We are teaching kids ideology, which makes black white, which makes true false. Think about it. You mentioned Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
How in Seattle, they're not teaching math, they're teaching cultural math.
Right.
And so they're no longer in Seattle schools are kids learning that right answers is a point of math. No longer is the math classroom in Seattle dedicated to helping kids go through more and more complicated mathematical problems and always then getting the right answer. That's considered Western imperialism. Now, math in Seattle is first and foremost about how Western culture and white men have used knowledge, particularly mathematical knowledge, to enslave the rest of the world. The white man's emphasis on correctness and logic and precision is an affront to other cultures who think and see the world differently. And therefore, white mathematics have to be replaced by a mathematics that is not based on logic or correctness, but is based on anything else but. And that's how we got here.
Oh, my gosh.
The dumber you are, the better a citizen you are.
In socialistic terms, yes. The less questions
wow.
you ask, comrade, the more you accept the commentariat, the more you expect what the governing party says,
yep.
the better comrade you are.
Yep.
Wow. Not only did this come at a huge price tag per district to do this, but they're training the teachers on how to implement this across the board in all subjects?
Absolutely. Again, what do my education majors have in common, whatever area of education they come from?
Mm-hmm.
They whine to me all the time that of all the courses we take in education, almost all of them are the same course. It's the same course on ideology.
Wow.
It's multiculturalism. It's multicultural education. And then they'll have a separate course on teaching multicultural black kids, another course on teaching multicultural LGBTQ kids, and it's all the same course. Think about this for a second, guys. When colleges send, when education departments, your kid wants to be a high school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Your kid wants to be a middle school teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is that they send your kids to English teach professors like me if they want to be English kids. They want to teach math, they send them to math professors.
Okay.
So the education department who owns these kids, They farm them out, right? Your kid wants to be an English professor, they send them to actual English professors. So then what are they doing all the rest of the time? It's English professors who teach the kids English. It's math professors who teach the would-be teachers math. So for half their curriculum hours in the education department, they're learning only ideology. Think about it. There is no subject matter in education. It is an empty slate. Mm-hmm. When they want to teach science, they send them to science teachers. But what are they doing for the other half of the kids' education when they're not being taught science? Mm-hmm. They're being taught classroom policies. They're being taught conformity. They're being taught using education as an ideology to undermine Western culture. And that's the big complaint from the education majors. You can't teach unless you go through the education department. You can't get a four-year degree in science, which would give you much more science, by the way, and then enter a classroom and teach. You have to enter an education college where you take a couple years' worth of science and a couple years' worth of their educational psychobabble nonsense, which is almost all of it anchored in socialism. If you want to teach, you have to spend 2 years running through a curriculum that doesn't have any intellectual discipline behind it. It's just a bunch of sociological indoctrinating ideas made up about how classrooms become places of advocacy. That's your problem right there.
The guy that started this, the guy that invented this or really wanted this taught and so came up with a training program for this, Gary Howard. Gary Howard is one that for 35 years only spoke about civil rights, social justice, equity, education, diversity. His book is We Can't Teach What We Don't Know. Well, obviously you can. So he just proved himself wrong. They can teach what they don't know, and they are. And he is basically, his whole career was built around privilege, examination of privilege, power, and the role of white leaders and educators in multicultural society. This reminds me of, and I can't remember his name, Simon, the one that really wanted to change Native American culture and history and suppress it to make them look like savages. Who was that? He only wanted to make them look like savages because he couldn't make it look like they had any technology at all or knew it, that, you know, were, you know, just like everybody else, but had to paint them as savages in order to be able to, you know, do what they were going to do. It reminds me of his history, but same kind of thing, right?
I agree. And I don't remember his name off the top of my head either, but you know who it does remind me of? Two people. This guy, Howard, is a Johnny come lately to this. This is exactly the kind of education that Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist bomber, has been preaching for 35 years. And remember, he couldn't get a job in any respectable field after he was disgraced for his attempted bombing. So he ended up as a professor of education at the University of Illinois Chicago, where he had thousands and thousands of teachers over his 30-year career. Mm. And Ayers' entire teaching method, the way he taught other teachers, was that the place for communism in America was the elementary school classroom. And the other guy besides Ayers, who I would point to that really dramatically precedes this Howard guy, mm-hmm. would be Howard Zinn, right?
Right.
Howard Zinn, who gave us in the 1970s a radical new history textbook that was gobbled up by all the public schools. It was not an actual history textbook. It was American culture and history taught to our kids through exclusively socialist lenses. So every major event in American history was revisioned by Howard Zinn and looked at only through the lens of socialist propaganda, which completely warped and gutted American history. No wonder our kids hate America. They've been reading a distorted socialist history of America for at least 40 years now.
Jeez. This is so scary. This is so scary to me. And I realize it's been going on for a while. That's why we're seeing the results of it. It always takes a long time, or just at least a while, to get to the results where people finally can acknowledge what's going on. Why haven't the teachers stood up to this and said, I'm sorry, this is nonsense. We're not teaching this.
Because they were the first ones indoctrinated.
That's right. Well, and even more than that, the entire education programs at American universities have been sold out to the left and radical socialism for about 50 years now, since the 1960s. And remember what happened in the 1960s. All those old-fashioned, stodgy, post-World War II professors retired. And who replaced them? Tenured radicals, right? Mm-hmm. That's the name, I believe, of David Horowitz's book, Tenured Radicals. So in order to participate in the education scheme in this country, in order to be involved in education, you had to get an education from an education department on a major campus. And for 50, 60 years, those have all been radically leftist. Smart kids who didn't want to put up with the socialist garbage, they just decided not to become teachers. They walked away from it. Only those teachers who were willing to some degree to conform to the socialist nature of the structure in order to get letters of recommendation, in order to be able to student teach, they joined, and in spite of the socialism. And then when you look at the kind of resources we provide to teachers, the kind of textbooks, the curriculum, mm-hmm. the tests, mm-hmm. they've been hijacked by the left. So teachers find themselves, and with this Common Core thing, guys, you know, okay, we've talked about this on your show a lot.
Sure.
With Common Core, what happened? A lot of teachers who knew better, a lot of the older 50, 55-year-old teachers, when Common Core came in 10 years ago, mm-hmm. they walked away.
You're right.
They walked away 10 years before they had to retire. They just quit. And that was the best thing that could happen to the left. They were glad to see those teachers go because many of those teachers knew how to teach in a different way. And what did they replace those highly paid 35-year veterans of the classroom with? Mm-hmm. They replaced those teachers with 22, 23-year-old just graduated education majors who only knew the socialist way of doing it. That's what happened.
Oh, my gosh. One of the guy that created this, one of his speeches that he went around and did was growing good white folks. Oh, my gosh.
They literally, people like Howard literally believe that whiteness is the equivalent of a disease, a toxic, spreading, contagious disease. They really do, but they're not just using rhetoric here. Mm-hmm. They're going back to the worst kind of slurs we used to use against Jews in the 1930s. Mm-hmm. There's something verminous about white people. There's something contagious about white people. To be white is to be toxic, right? This kind of stuff, you haven't heard this stuff in serious Western conversation since the 1930s. And the progressive left is the one who's doing it now. And that applies mm-hmm. to all white people, especially if you happen to be male and heterosexual.
Okay.
So how many generations away are we from our children telling us we don't want to listen to you?
It's here. It's here right now. I mean, think about this. Under the influence of radicalized public school teachers, you've got 6 and 7-year-olds now rejecting their gender. And who's the media siding with? The parents or the kid? The kid.
Right.
Who are the courts siding with? The kid.
Right.
Who's the journalist siding with? The kid. I think it's here already. Any 6 or 7 or 8-year-old now who simply demands what he learned in his public school, demands to switch genders, parents don't have much say anymore. It took an act of God to get that 7-year-old boy in Texas.
Yep.
To have the father to have some say over his kids.
And then what happened? He went to school as a boy. He
of
went
course.
As a boy.
Yeah.
That was the update on that story. We're going to come right back. He chose to go to school as a boy because the judge, reversed finally?
Well, he gave the father a say.
He gave the father a say. Yeah. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show with Dr. Duke Pesta, the Dr. Duke Show, and, of course, Uncle Milty. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
To the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles on the air, on land, and sea. First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to claim the title of the United States Marine.
Wow, 104 years old. 104 years old. Veteran singing that. And welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. We have Dr. Duke Pesta. We also have Uncle Milty. And we were just talking on the break, you know, I am glad that this is my last year of dealing with schools, because if I would have been a smart parent, I would have homeschooled since the very beginning, but I wasn't smart back then. I just didn't know. And we were just talking about this because I can't imagine having little kids and wanting them to be in the school system for the next 15 years and thinking that when you go to school the Romans, you come out a Roman. I can't believe we're going to be shocked when these kids come out liberal. They hate our country. They hate who we are. They hate being white. And Deep Equity, this new program that all the school systems are starting to adopt or have adopted and been slowly doing this for years, it's pretty amazing when we're going to be shocked by the results, I would imagine.
Well, you're right. You can't be shocked. And, you know, I gave over 1,000 talks on things like Common Core, the rise of Fed Ed over the last 8 years. I've been in 48 of the 50 states doing this. And whenever moms and dads came up to me and were concerned about this, they all said the same thing. It was almost never about money. Almost never. It was always about homeschooling. It was always about time. I just don't have 8 hours a day to be home with my kid. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be home all day with my kids. If I homeschool them, that means I'm going to have to be with them. And I have friends, and I want to go to the gym, and I have a part-time job. And so the bottom line was, for most of these families, they knew. They knew exactly what these schools were. Mm-hmm. They didn't know they were as bad as they were until I showed them, but they knew.
Right.
And this was so insidious about the American public school system. For most of us, for most parents, it became 8 to 10 hours of what they considered to be free daycare every day. You know, a 9 months a year. And think about what the plans for school expansion are. Kamala Harris just came out, typical liberal, and said, we need to extend the school day until 6 p.m.
Right.
Moms and dads are at work. It's not fair to send kids home at 3 where they have to stay with grandma or they have to monitor themselves while the parents are working.
Yeah.
Let's extend the school day to 12 hours, right?
Jeez.
And what you have happening now is this idea, well, why can't the schools, the public schools, are feeding our kids breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Some cases, over the summer when school's out, kids go to the schools to get fed.
Yep.
This is a complete transferal of control of our kids away from mom and dad and towards public institutions like schools.
And they get a couple more hours out of their slaves.
Right.
Well, yeah. In fact, Jared Harris wrote an article. The headline was, "After years of Common Core, Betsy DeVos announces devastating results." Not only Common Core, but these programs, too, that these school districts that allow all these programs run by the worst progressive liberals, like Gary Howard, into our school system and devoting time to these programs and infiltrating every subject. So if you're just joining us, getting the ideology of these programs into every subject that you can imagine that these kids are being taught. So everything is taught from this point of view that, you know, your white privilege, that this deep equity program is just horrendous. It's horrendous in every way.
But you and I are about the only ones lamenting this. You have to understand that the ship has sailed. When Betsy DeVos reports that our kids are reading and writing and doing math at the lowest possible levels, perhaps ever, the fact is that nobody, you're critiquing a system that doesn't care about grades.
No, and their answer is more of it. Their answer is that we need to be in school for 15 hours, not take the program that's failed, right?
And we need to take more of your taxpayer dollars to provide you more of that so-called free education.
Mm-hmm.
The school systems have decided that the purpose of schooling is not great. It's not teaching your kids knowledge. They, according to them, they haven't failed. You and I and Milsey and tens of millions of concerned Americans, we say this isn't right. My kid's illiterate. He's a radical progressive Antifa kid, but he can't read. That bothers you and me. We consider that a flaw in the system. They don't. They have already completely changed the system. It is dead. And with some of the moves that Common Core made, including 2015, you and I talked about this, the Every Student Succeeds Act, that the Republican-controlled House and Congress rammed through in 2 days over the Christmas holiday in December of 2015. That was Republicans, basically for the first time in American history, allowing the federal government to take the lead in educating our kids, utterly dispossessing the rights of states and individuals. That's what happened. So now you want to fix it. You're not going to fix it at your local school. You're not going to get your state to fix it.
Nope.
It's going to have to be something that the federal government chooses to do, and they're not going to choose it. The vast majority, even the majority, even of Republicans in the House and Senate, voted to vote themselves power over education. The system is done. It's changed. And so the answer now is not to lament bad public schools or to think that you can change them by writing a letter. The only choice you have now is to use your constitutional right to educate them in a good private school or at home.
Yeah.
There is no more dawdling around with the idea that if 4 more years of Trump is going to fix the public school system. And let me just be very frank with you. Betsy DeVos can lament it all she wants, But before she joined Team Trump as the Secretary of Education, she was on Jeb Bush's Common Core Committee. She was helping Jeb Bush create and put into the states Common Core. So the idea somehow that Betsy DeVos was going to be the woman who ended this is absurd. She initially was 100% before it, and she has done nothing meaningful to pull it out. So let's not pretend that under Donald Trump, this is going to get better, because it ain't.
You're right, and I think he hired her because she was a woman, because he wanted to hire a lot of women at the time, and it's devastating. Uncle Milty?
No, unless they do away with the U.S. Department of Education and put education back under local control, nothing's going to change.
Right, and I tell people all the time about your school.
What Donald Trump, didn't Donald Trump promise us he'd do it?
Yes, he did. He did. He recognized the problems.
And how do you do it when you're appointing to the Secretary of Education somebody who has no interest in doing it?
Yeah. She was behind putting it in. Absolutely, 100%. I tell people about FPEUSA.org, your school, because that's one answer. When people think, I don't want to, you mentioned, 8 hours, I don't want to be with my kid, I don't want to have to teach, I don't know what to teach. You don't have to be. In fact, you guys scour the country for the very best teachers. Your curriculum's amazing. I've read through some of your curriculum. It is awesome. And you know what? It's a great way to do it, by the way. And it's nationally accredited, too. So it's a fantastic school. I had to plug that.
Well, thank you for that. Although the same problem exists, we find this all the time. Even in our school, where we'll do the teaching for them. We assign the books, we grade the papers, all from the comfort of their own living room. Still, parents have to be there. They can't just trust. Are you going to trust an 11-year-old on a computer when you're out working to do what he's supposed to do?
That's true.
Someone's got to stay there and oversee the kids.
Right?
There has to be some responsibility on the part of the parents. And we're finding more and more that parents don't even want to do that. They want somebody else to look up after every other aspect of their kid. They don't want to feed them. They don't want to teach them morality. They don't want to teach them about sex. They just want they want their time away from their kids. Which, if that's your attitude, boy, it makes you wonder if you should have had kids to begin with.
True. Yeah.
But it doesn't actually take an 8-hour day to follow through on your program. Does it take
Milton, think about it. Okay, you're right. You can give a kid a good education in 3 hours a day.
Yep.
But then, if they're not in the public schools, what are you going to do with your kids for the other 5 hours? That's what people freak out about, right?
Yeah.
And so having to find things for the kids to do or plan alternative things for the kids to do, it's just we just don't want to be responsible for our kids. In the same way this up-and-coming generation wants somebody else to pay for their college education, wants somebody else to pay for their health care, right? It's the same thing. If this generation is going to bother having kids, and many aren't. Many are not the least bit interested in families and marriage. They're certainly not going to be interested in spending that kind of time with kids. And so this is very depressing. But generations of neglect have led to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
The generation that you would think now would be having kids and committing to those kids is only half-heartedly doing it.
Right.
And only if there are all these crutches and props. Somebody else pays for their health care. Somebody else, public schools, educates them. At that point, they're willing to commit, but nothing more. The idea that we are primarily responsible for our kids, which means perhaps the most important thing we can do for our kids is not vacations or cell phones or leather tennis shoes. Perhaps the most important thing we can do for our kids is to give them an education that will allow them to survive and allow their families to survive. We failed to do that now for the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And so you've got a generation of kids who don't know how to look after themselves, who don't want to look after themselves, who are desperately seeking somebody, read government, to look after us for us. We need surrogate parents who will gladly trade our freedom for if they just feed us and clothe us and get rid of our student loan debt. That's where we are in America today.
You know, you can only imagine how much I talk politics at home, right? I'm everybody's worst nightmare. Talk politics at home, and my kids get to hear an earful. And I have to re-educate my kids all the time on politics. And my kids still come home with on the whole climate change nonsense BS. And so it's interesting that I have to keep re-educating because their messages are so strong that I have to keep doing it daily. Now, you know how much I talk about it. Can you imagine when it's not being talked about at all? Because I actually have to keep re-educating. So people have a force of habit, don't they? You went to school. You want your kids to go to school and have that that first day in first grade and run home and tell you how it was and play on the schoolyard. But we're not. We're talking about a completely different system now. It is not what we grew up with. And what even we grew up with was changing. But we didn't even recognize it. But it's habit.
No, and the tragedy is that these kids don't know anything else. It's not like you can say, go back to the way you were 5 years ago. Right. 5 years ago for them was just 5 years short of where they are now in terms of their indoctrination. These kids do not understand what liberty means. They do not understand what freedom means. They would throw away the United States because their opinion of it is so low. They would throw it away. What, 74% recently of millennials said they plan to vote for the most socialist candidate? 74%.
Jeez.
They've already, and you can't go back and educate them again. Liberty became habitual for Americans. That's why we survived the Great Depression. It's why we won World War II. It's why we became economically prosperous. We, for 100 years, had made liberty and freedom habitual. Well, for the last 50 years, we've made dependence, apathy, and ignorance habitual. Now we're going to have to deal with that for at least another 50 years.
And the consequences are pretty severe.
It's very severe. And the sad part is that people my age, it's very difficult for them to see that the younger generations don't remember what we remember.
Right.
So
it's not that they don't. It's not that they just don't remember.
Well, they didn't know.
Yeah.
It's that also that they hate what you survived without knowing it. Right. That if you try to show them or try to get them humanely involved, they've already been taught to see our history. And you, whether it's World War II, whether it's overcoming the Depression, all they see is Jim Crow and Nagasaki. All the rest of it is gone from them.
Yeah.
It's almost
yeah.
impossible to connect with them because we have not programmed them to be receptive to the idea that America could have benefits or could actually be heroic.
Right. Because we can't imagine what you just said, that when they open a history book, it's all about our racist ways and what all the events in history, cherry picking all these events in history and then turning them into something they're not. Kind of like the Harriet Tubman thing I wrote up.
Yeah.
And now the new movie, you know, Harriet Tubman wasn't the founder. She was on the last 15 years of that whole scenario, but they're making her the face of it and her the founder. That's the kind of history our kids get. And that's how warped it is.
Yep, and in 10 years you'll have Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill,
yep.
Andrew Jackson, who, like him or not, was a significant force in history. He'll be history in the ash heap of history, and we'll laud Harriet Tubman with all sorts of undeserved accolades just so we can say we've reached equity. That's how it's going to work, yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, at least we can understand why it is that societies collapse.
Yeah. And if people want to do homework, go look up Gary Howard and then ask your school district why they're letting him in to your school district. Because there's a lot of people. I mean, would I want Jesse Jackson doing a program for my school inside the school? No. And I think we're going to have to come to a point where we say our kids are going to have to be removed. We're just going to have to remove them right now.
We've replaced Jefferson, Adams, and Madison.
Yeah,
with Howard, Zinn, and the rest of these clowns. And that look at the civilization that Madison and Adams and Jefferson gave us, and look at the one we're about to be bequeathed by all the social progressives. It's going to be Venezuela all over again, isn't it? It's going to be South America all over again. Argentina, right? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Duke Pesta, the program is Deep Equity. It's sick. It's sickening. It's just a culmination of everything, that Common Core, everything. But thank you so much for enlightening everybody on this. Really appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
God bless.
Dr. Duke Pesta, catch the Dr. Duke Show. He's a pretty amazing guy. He really is, and he talks about all this at length and in more detail. Make sure you get over to his show, The Dr. Duke Show. We'll be right back talking about veterans. I'm going to talk about a lot of things and a lot of things concerning this day. So we'll be right back. Talk about war, everything. Be right back.
Balance of Nature. Changing the world, one life at a...
Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.
Time.